Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. My name is Jacob Restituto, and I have the absolute pleasure of having Ima Sol here on the channel. It is a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much, all the way from Mexico City at the moment, for taking the time to chat on the channel.
Yes, of course. Hi, how are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, it's obviously nice to be here and speak about my music and everything that's going on. So thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So I also had the pleasure of seeing you perform live. So I'd seen your music and heard about your music a couple months ago, actually, when we did that Budweiser NFT drop with VaynerMedia. And I heard about your music, heard about your stuff, and then met Mike Boyd through it. And then I had actually gone to VCon, and then I saw that you were performing, and I saw your performance. And I wanted to say, first of all, congratulations, because it was phenomenal. And second of all, I would love to chat about that, chat out your music. But tell me about that performance. Let's talk about that. So VCon was a conference hosted by Gary Vaynerchuk, and you were one of the performers that got to perform. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, so I guess maybe like in January or something, I was talking to Mike around about the NFT drop that Budweiser was going to do. And they really wanted to include global artists representing their different backgrounds and stuff. I kind of feel cool that they were involving Latino artists in the drop and that both of the Latino artists that were in the drop were women. Because normally in Latin America in general, in our genre, which is like more urban and stuff, it's always mostly men. Like normally it's rare to have the woman take the center stage. So I kind of felt really good about that. And for me to go from Mexico and being able to perform in such a big, I will say that it's really iconic because it's the first like big NFT event with Gary Vee himself being involved. So the show, even though it was really short, it kind of gave me like enough to try to do like this mashup of my music and try to, you know, make the best most of it. So I invited a really good friend of mine who is a Grammy Award nominee producer to come along, and he accepted. So in general, it was a really good experience. I'm really happy I got able to do that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. That's really interesting. And really interesting point you made about the women in Latin music. Myself, I'm 50% Salvadorian. My mom is from El Salvador. I grew up listening to Latin music at all the family parties and everything. And looking back, it's something that I never really thought about until you just mentioned it. It's like, looking back, I'm like, yeah, you're right. There really aren't a lot of female singers that we'd hear at the parties, you know, and all the songs, 98% of them, you know, sung by men. And of course, there's a couple here and there, but that's a really interesting just dynamic that I never really thought about.
Yeah, it's not like I feel like, you know, like, going feminist crazy about it, but I kind of like to talk about it because I am a woman in the music industry, also in an urban gender, and I feel like it's important to mention it because I guess that sometimes we don't think about it. Like if you go to a festival here, like a few years ago, there was this thing about they were counting the festivals in Mexico, like in the whole country, which there's many music festivals, how many percentage of women are invited to these festivals. And I think that all festivals were like 14% or 10%. And it was kind of crazy because it made the festivals think that, okay, we need to include more women in our music festivals. And they're starting to do so. But yeah, the reason why I think they're starting to do so is because, you know, people like trying, like looking at small things that you think that you don't think them a lot, but they're happening. So for me, it was important. And I thought that on Mike's behalf, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's a really interesting point that you brought up. And that's actually a really cool thing that you're carrying. Like you said, you're not going into the extreme about it, but what you do feel passionate about. So let's talk about your music as well, because it was phenomenal to hear. I want to compliment you because you carried a very elegant but also powerful stage presence when you performed. And I admired that. You know, I think that you were super confident in what you were doing. And there was a lot going on at the time. There were definitely people watching, but there was also just a lot in general going on. And I admired the fact that you were still super focused on what you were doing, and that, like, I think that can throw a lot of musicians. You know, as a musician myself, like, I've played some wild gigs, and, like, it's really easy to get distracted from what you're doing, and then that comes off to the audience where it's like, oh, they're not feeling it, or they feel uncomfortable, or whatever the case is. And I was really impressed with how you carried yourself on stage.
Thank you. Well, there was this crazy line for Gary Selfies that I admire, because I think he took selfies for like 14 hours straight or something like this. Which is pretty amazing, since I just love the guy.
Sure.
And for me as a musician, I think what threw me off a little was to make a mashup of my music and do it so fast. Like, because then I feel like when I have like an hour as in a concert, sometimes it's really hard to connect. Like, you can connect maybe around the minute, 20 minutes in the show. So for me, it was short, which was a challenge. But I think that it's just like having the opportunity to be there, an opening for such crazy artists that I admire so much. I went out really focused on the task that I have to do. And even though music is something I really enjoy, and of course I enjoy it, I'm very disciplined in trying to do the task as how it was asked for me to do. And also, I don't know, I felt like I could see some people in the audience like trying to understand. Also, I know that my music's in Spanish, and most people were speaking in like English speakers. So I saw a lot of people interested, but also there was a lot going on. But yeah, I had a good time. Like, for me, it was just get out there, do what you're asked to do, what you were here invited for, and yeah, have fun. And I did.
Yeah, it looked like you had fun. And oh, I lost your connection really quickly.
I'm really sorry about that.
You're all good. No worries.
I think there was someone calling me. I don't know what happened.
Not a problem at all. So we'll pick it up right from there. So I really admire that. And it sounds like you have a really, really strong work ethic with what you're doing, which I also admire, because I feel like musicians, and this is like my life dilemma, essentially, is like, we as musicians get wrapped up in this whole group of musicians where it's like, people say it's so hard to make it in the industry, which it definitely is. I would definitely say it's, you know, you have to put your work in. But, like, I think that we get wrapped up with the people that play the guitar, you know, and as soon as you, like, touch an instrument, now you're a musician. And we get wrapped up in this huge thing where, like, as an artist, I wouldn't say I'm, like, an architect just because I drew a picture of a house, you know what I mean? And and it's really interesting. But, like, I admire the people... like you, where we have this work ethic where it's like, no, this is we love it. Yes, we're grateful that we get to do it, but it's also our job, and we're going to put the work in to actually get to where we want to go. And I think that really, you can see the result of that in people's work.
Yeah, I think that it's been, like, for me, it's been, like, very about trying to be as, I guess, like, I started just dreaming about doing music, and, like, when I was doing music, then I started putting my music out there. But then it wasn't always very professional, right? Because not everything that comes from the heart, it's always so professional. Because I didn't realize that all the opportunities, I was dreaming about it, but I didn't see all the opportunities that were coming for me in the future, as in, okay, now I can, now this is gonna be not only me as an artist, but also me as a businesswoman. And this is me in the industry, as in, you know, as really doing things in a professional way. I think it's been really fast. Not so fast, because it goes faster for other people. I try not to compare a lot.
I hear that.
But then sometimes it's hard as a musician, sure, not comparing other people's journeys.
Sure.
But yeah, I try to do it as, in the most giving way, like everything of me, like a lot of discipline, and like really going the extra mile, I guess, because then it's such a hard industry. Like if you don't go the extra mile, I don't know, it's just, there's just so many good people out there. Like you have to go the extra mile if you want to make kind of like the difference and be recognized as in a certain level. I don't know, like I'm still figuring out, but yeah, I'm trying to be like, look at it as in a focus, as in a business too, and also as an artist, which is not easy, but yeah.
Absolutely. I totally relate to that. And I want to comment on two things that you mentioned. You mentioned one, working harder than everybody else, you know, and there's a quote that I heard. I don't remember who said it. It might have honestly even been Gary Vee who said it. I don't remember off the top of my head, but if you want to live, or if you want a 1% kind of life where you live in the 1%, or you have the 1% that of things, whether that be in the 1% of the music industry, whatever the case is, right? You have to work harder than 99% of the people. And it's just a really interesting perspective. Like if you want what you say you want, then you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You really need to like put it all out there. Like I cannot see, that's why sometimes when they criticize musicians and stuff like this, for me, it throws me off a little, because then I know that, even if I don't love what they're doing, or I'm not connected with their music, because music is very personal, you can like it or not, and not everyone's gonna love you. I think that they're probably working a lot. So I feel like there, as in everything, not only music, you definitely have to put a lot of work in anything that you wanna see great results, right?
Absolutely. That's a great point for anything in life, whether it be, you know, having great relationships with people, having a great, you know, like physique at the gym, like anything takes hard work. And I also wanted to comment on the fact that you mentioned, you know, you kind of almost see it as a business. And I think that's a really big difference, I think, between artists, where like you really start to get to that next level of artistry. Where it is still your hobby, quote unquote, but there is this level of professionalism that you take to the table, and you're not showing up late to places. You're not, you know, you take it seriously like you would any other job, right? And you show up Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, however many, you know, and you put your work in and you treat it like a business. You even to some degree, you want to get all technical, but like the way you handle your finances, you know, business can only stay afloat if you have money to pay for things, right? So it's like all these things, you treat it like a business and it'll flourish.
Yes, and that's a big thing, because, you know, artists, I got signed by Empire maybe 2019, was it? Yeah. And I don't think they signed a lot of Latino artists. They maybe like, I think we're like 4 or 5. There's big names over there. And I feel like a lot of artists these days, when you sign with a label and they give you all these advance and all this money, it's very easy to get carried away and go and spend it on like, just like so many things instead of like reinvest that money into your craft. And I feel like that's something that I really want to always do right, because the resources in music are not always there, but sometimes they come along and people trust you and they're putting their investment on you. And the best thing you can do is to reinvest that money as an artist, and also not only do it, I'm not doing only music, like I'm trying to diversify the investment as much as I can. So when there is not such a good times in music, then I can still be afloat. I just feel like that's very important for artists to take a note on, like to try to not, you know, like definitely you have to see it as a business and be smart on your finances, because even though like the world is just not always going to have, you know, like all these opportunities for you to make money. You know, we already lived through a pandemic and we didn't have shows for 2 years and stuff. So yeah, like that's something that I'm trying to be as serious as I can.
I think that is super, super good insight. And I highly recommend anybody that's watching this or listening to this after the fact really takes note of that, because first of all, for two reasons. One, it's like you said, it's super important to diversify and have just other opportunities and options going. But two, also to recognize that most, I don't think most people recognize that the way that record labels work is the money that you get up front is an advance, and it's a loan, essentially. You're paying that back through your music. At least 90% of how they're set up as a loan, and then the money they expect to make back will have to cover that loan, and then, you know, whatever, however the deal is set up after the fact. But if you don't, you know, work to get that, to make money on their investment, then you're in some deep trouble, you know?
Yeah, I see it happening a lot. Like, I really, like, just people seeing, like, a lot of money in front of them and just get, I understand, you're sure. Young, most of us, it's hard to, like, be good with finances. But that's when I say that you gotta, you know, try to have the best team you can, like, not eat the cake all of yourself. Like, if you're eating a cake by yourself, then that's trouble. You need to share that cake with smart people that help you out to, like, put the things where you have to put them, just because, you know, everything is so volatile. It changes all the time. So yeah, I'm definitely grateful. The VCon thing was such a great opportunity for me, and it's been, I think I'm still getting over it.
In what sense? What do you mean by that?
Because, you know, it's such a rush, like, when you do something like this, and I cried before I went to stage. Like, that day I woke up and I was at the hotel and I was being treated so cool. And I just saw Pharrell Williams at the lobby and I didn't even recognize him because I didn't thought I was going to see Pharrell Williams at the lobby. And then I just, like, kind of sit down waiting for the time that I have to go to the stadium. And I just started crying because then I said, if you would have told me this maybe 10 years ago, I would have never thought that I was going to go so far in music. It's not that I wasn't visionary. It's just, like, I thought that there was little chance for me to do so. So I kind of feel good because to be honest, if I'm real, very real with you, I am not the best singer. I am not the best composer. I am not the best in so many things. But what I'm really good at is that persistence and keep going. And just, like, trying to get involved with the right people so I get better at those things that I'm maybe not the best at.
You took the words out of my mouth because that is what I've been saying personally. About, I relate to what you are saying so unbelievably much. I think that's the key. Consistency is key. Hard work pays off because I've said that about myself as a musician for years. Like, I'm not the best singer. I'm not the best writer. There's so many more talented people out there, but talent is only a portion of the equation. I think that hard work and consistency and meeting the right people and being open to opportunity, like, you could be the best singer in the world, but, like, if you're not open to the right opportunities or not putting yourself out there, or if you're inconsistent, I don't know if the opportunities would come. And I relate to what you were saying so much. And I really hope people are hearing that, you know, you don't have to. Well, I also want to say that you are a phenomenal singer, but I do relate to what you were saying. And if people are listening, because, like, I always want to encourage other artists, because when I first started, people told me it's impossible to do anything in the music industry. And now it's my full-time career. And I want to speak out and say, like, hey, as long as you're willing to put in the work and be super patient, because I made no money for a long time, something is possible, you know what I mean? And I really want other artists and people watching this to hear that you don't have to necessarily be the best, but if you're willing to be patient for your time and put in the work, that something will come of it.
Yes, and definitely find your voice, as in start appreciating yourself as how you are. Because the voice, even if you train your vocals so hard, it will get to a point that that's your voice. You got to start, like, at the beginning, it was for me to be so hard to say, oh, is that how I sound? No, I would be, like, so frustrated. And I think that you have to be very decisive, because I know a lot of great composers, amazing singers, that it takes a lot for them to say, okay, it's ready. It has to go out. No, you have to be able to choose and to say it's enough, then you can work on this song for a year or you can take it out because it's pretty good already. And definitely, I think the key now, I'm starting to see it. I'm not really sure because I'm still on my journey. It will probably my whole life, but I think it's very important to know how to direct your craft as an artist, like how you want to be represented, how you want to be seen, and definitely try to be as honest as possible. So you don't have to be creating this, if you want to do it, that's fine. If it's fun for you to create this kind of like, you know how they say that it's like your, it's like another part of you, as in sometimes they reinvent themselves as in being something that they're not that, you know, like you have to like kind of lie because you are such a different person of how you are portrayed as an artist. It's cool if you're really into, you know, like playing the game of being like, you know, I'm going to be this person tonight because it's fun, but I'm such a different person. But I think in the long run, it's really tiring to not be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm mostly this person off camera and when I'm home.
Yeah.
And normal. So this is not so tiring for me because I don't have to be, you know, like, I don't know if I got my point.
Absolutely. You can only fake it till you make it for so long. Just be yourself and then you don't have to worry about putting on the show. You know, you just, you're showing people who, and then the benefit of that is like, if people decide to like you, they're liking you for who you are, not for what you're portraying, but just for who you are. So I think that's a phenomenon.
Yes, I don't know, like.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, were you going to add to that?
No. I think you got like something. Oh, okay. On the internet.
Okay, sounds good. I wanted to add to the fact of, I think that's a phenomenal point, by the way. I totally agree with that. And I feel like people want authenticity, so they will respond to that. But I want to make I have a question for you regarding, you mentioned being decisive and releasing, knowing when to release music. In your personal opinion, if you had to choose between putting out 12 really good songs, like phenomenal songs, or 100 pretty good songs, which would you choose? If you had the creative juices to do one or the other, which route would you go? Let me rephrase. Let me rephrase that slightly. Actually, in your personal opinion, there are 12 really good songs, or 100, in your personal opinion, pretty decent songs.
Because of the way the music is being consumed today, I will always say, try to put your work out there. Like, don't try to make a song that is a Pulitzer song, because you don't know the audience is changing so much. And, you know, like, even editorial picks are so random sometimes. Like, if you are just putting 12 songs that are amazing, like, I'm really obsessed with body of works. Like, I want to do an album. I want to do all this because I'm a musician at heart, and it's a dream of mine since I'm a kid. I have just dropped an EP with 7 songs. Like, it's the longest body of work that I have put out there. I really want to do one that is 20, 23. But it's just like, first of all, it's super expensive if you want to do it like really well, like to put such a body of work. And in the other way, if you're starting as an artist, the best thing you can do right now is try to drop music as often as you can, so people, you know how everything ends up, so like people, everything's so quick right now. Like, I'm really into the, I feel like it's really cool to think, I'm very dreamful, I think, to think that, okay, I'm gonna put the 12 songs, so amazing, but then if you're not gonna have music for the rest of the year, that would be a good thing if Rosalia does it, or Nati Peluso, or, you know, like, I don't know, just like TLC, whoever, Miguel, he can do that because he already has such a career that if he doesn't put out 10 albums in a year, it's fine because people are still waiting for him. What's next? Well, when you're an up-and-coming artist, I feel like if you go against an industry that has a way, then you're going to get frustrated because the industry won't change because your dream is, I'm going to be different. You know, I'm just going to put out and I'm not going to do what music industry is making me do. Like, I'm not going to do TikTok because I'm not into TikTok. and I'm not gonna put music often because I don't believe in art being consumed in such a way so fast. But if you think it in another way, I feel like it's very strategic, and you gotta be strategic right now, like more if you don't have so much resources. So I think I would choose as an emerging artist to put 100 good songs, and my 12 Pulitzer tracks, I will put them later on when I'm when I have enough people listening to what I'm doing to make sure that they're gonna be, you know, very well appreciated. You know,
yeah, that's like, very interesting perspective. I appreciate that for sure, and I completely subscribe to that mentality 100%. And then you add on to the fact that quality is subjective, and that's why I add that little caveat in the end that like you might think it's an okay song or an amazing song, but the world might think the opposite. You might think, oh, this song's only okay. You put it out there, and people are like, this is the best song I ever heard. You know, quality is subjective. You know, some people might think it's amazing, some people might not, and then you never know until you release it.
First of all, I just drop music that I love.
Exactly. So,
like, I haven't, the one time that happened to me that I wasn't really sure of a track, but I was really pushed to drop it, I was like, well, okay, let's do it. I'll drop this track. The only time that has happened to me, it's my most listened track.
That's always the case. Why? Why is it like that? It's like...
It's my most listened track. Like it went crazy. I had like Spotify covers. Like wow. I feel like I'm not gonna be so judgmental of my music.
Yeah.
Like I'll try to be a little bit more chill and try to look at it also like a business, as I said before, and be like, if the people that signed me and see 1,000 artists every day are saying, you know what, this is a good track, I'm going to start listening. Okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Because then you build a bubble of horror in your mind and anxiety because you will always feel like it's not good enough. See? Like, it's important to listen to the people that believe in you. So you are an active artist. Right now the world works like that. Unfortunately for emerging artists, we have to be dropping music constantly. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up, but that's the challenge of the ones that will make it and the ones, as I'm saying it, truly won't, because consistency would be the key and difference of an artist that builds up. The reason why I'm building up and I already have more than 100K monthly listeners in Spotify is because I've been dropping music as much as I can. Obviously, I'm working on an album, yes, but I have to keep working. I won't be like 2 years away writing this album. Like, that's very 90s. That doesn't work like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I subscribe to everything you're saying 100%, man. I think the same way, and it's very, very interesting to see how the music industry is shifting and how some artists are still stuck in the old way of thinking, and it hurts me to see that because like they're talented, but the world doesn't know who they are because they're like they're saving up money for this perfect album, and it's like, cool, but like just put something out. Like you're talented, just put an acoustic song out. Like, don't wait. Like some of my friends, man, like they're like, oh, I'll put out a song, I want to record an album, and it's been 3 years and they haven't done anything because it's not perfect yet or it's not finished yet, they don't have the money, and it's like, just put something out, like, you know.
And if you think about it, like even video clips, like before everyone wanted to do a video clip for each song, and that's like a lot of money. Like, you have to be creative. And even me as a signed artist, I have done video with my phone, you know, and Florencer, there was a song that I sang at Vicon that is like, that I put that song out, I think it was like 2 months ago or three. I put it out in Dolby Atmos, like emerging sound, you know, and I did the video with a phone and we edited it and stuff, really cool. But, you know, there's just such many tools right now that artists can use.
Yeah.
So so we can keep up with consistency. And I feel like the best investment you can do is in your masters and the people that it's like doing the, I don't know how you say in English, before it's masters.
The mixing.
You know how the mixing and the master, like make sure that it's someone that you trust and it's doing a good job. I will definitely invest always on that for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, it makes a world of a difference, the mixing and mastering aspects of it, 100%. Let's talk a little bit about your creative process. I would love to hear about what, so you're talking about releasing music. You just released music a couple months back, your EP. And you talked about the fact that you want to do an album one day. What are you working on in the moment? Like, what does the day-to-day of Ima Soul look like?
Well, right now, after the EP, I dropped that on November. Then I dropped already 3 songs this year.
I love it.
And one of it was with Kofi, who is an artist from Toronto. And I think, like, Drake and all of those guys that have put him in the spotlight because he is with Red Bull Records and he's going like wild big. So it was my first crossover, like English and Spanish. And I think it was a really cool trap song. We did a video. That was really cool. Right now, what's next is that I think I'm going to wait a little bit. I do have music to put out, but since the last song that I dropped was kind of big, then they are waiting a little bit. Because also, you don't have to put music out every month, you know? Like, my creative, I think I'm working right now on an album, but I'm not sure if they're going to be like, oh, yeah, let's do an album. They might as well just say, no, let's drop these songs one each month. You know, like, at the end, I'm trying to listen as much as I can to my team. Because I feel like there's a reason why I picked them, and I'm trying to, I'm really married into the consistency way of dropping music. It's kind of hurtful if you think about it deeply, because then you say, oh my God, like, people are they even listening to my music? I just already dropped a new one, and there's such a good song from 2 months ago. But no, not really, because all these songs have been put in playlists, and even, you know, like, I feel like there's now a way that even music for a long time ago, it's coming back, because, you know, like, there's such a, like, Spotify and all this Tidal, they're doing all this playlists where you can listen to music that if it really was impactful in a way, it's probably gonna keep or stay for a long time.
I agree.
So just working on music as much as I can. Yeah, that's for sure.
I love that. And I agree. I have you ever heard of the artist Russ, R-U-S-S?
Maybe.
He's an artist from Atlanta, Georgia in the U.S. And he's doing phenomenal. Like, he's like, you know, he just sold out like a couple like Radio City Music Hall in New York. Like, he's doing phenomenal. Point being, though, is he subscribed to a song a week mentality, and he has like 400 songs out there. But what's really interesting, and I've always like noticed, is like that same mentality of like what you were just saying, like, you know, because I try to release as much music as I can as well. And I'm trying to say, you know, like, you know, am I just putting, like is it just being forgotten about to some degree? You know, like, you put so much stuff out there, like, or like you said, is it like, cool, I heard it once and then they move on kind of thing. But even it's interesting when you put yourself in other people's shoes, in the sense of like, I think we so often get caught as in our own musician's head. That if we get out of the musician's head and become a fan of somebody else for a second, and it's like, hold on, I've never said I'm a fan of Russ, right? So I've never been like, oh man, he's releasing too much music, I wish he'd stop, you know? Or even if I don't love the new song, there was six songs back I loved it, and I'll like, whenever, if it's even if he releases say 50 songs, if 7 of them hit for me, you know, then I'll go back and listen to those 7 songs. I don't have to like every single song, but if there's 7 that really hit, and then there's a different 7 for, now that there might be a different 7 for you, and there might be a different 7 for this person. And it's just really interesting, you know, like, it's like being a fisherman and having one, you know, line out there, or having 100 different fishing poles out there, and you never know which one's going to catch and what it's going to catch.
Yes, and obviously, like, as artists, I feel like there's already, I know it's overwhelming, but there's tons of ways to build community, you know, and as much as you can do, it's an effort. I think it's the most important, because people want people that they can also relate.
Yeah.
And people want people that it's dropping music, but they know a little bit more. And I don't know, that's what I found beautiful about the whole VCon thing. It's such a passionate community. Like, they're very passionate. And I feel like that's a way for me that I would be really stupid if I didn't, you know, put myself out there and try to explore and engage with this community. Because if I already sang at VCon and I already did a drop of NFTs, like, just like, I think that not having that as a starting platform for me in this community would be unfortunate. Like, for me, that's another community where I can share my music, and maybe not all of them will love it, but some of them will engage with it. I know TikTok is annoying, because obviously for me, it's annoying because I want to be obviously doing music all the time. But if you keep it honest and be yourself and just try to really, like, engage with it, it's not that bad. Like, I've been doing it for a month straight, like, intensely, and it's not the worst. Like, I have had worse stuff.
That's true.
Like, you know.
That's true for sure.
And
if it helps, you know, if it helps, you get to do what you love in the end. You know, you can. It might, like you said, there's worse things that we could be doing. We could be working a 9-to-5 and hating it every day, you know, working at an office, you know. So
exactly. Like, I think I heard yesterday or the day before this musician that was talking about how their labels are making you be on TikTok and like pushing you. And for me, that's not my experience. Like, with Empire, they're very more of like, try to be yourself, which you can try to use these tools. Like, they present it to you, but they don't in my experience, they're not forcing you to do anything. They're trying to help me out to put my music out there. So we have, again, not putting all the eggs in one basket.
Mm.
Diversifying as an artist, it's important. So we gotta evolve with the times, even though the times sometimes pass really quickly. That's the only thing that will maintain a healthy career.
Yeah.
In the long run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phenomenal perspective. I really appreciate that. So I want to wrap it up in a minute with you. I really appreciate your time, but I know you have some other meetings you got to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I have one practical question for you, and then I have a question that I like to ask all my guests. The practical question is, you mentioned community. How are you practically, what are some things that you are doing currently to build that community and engage with that community?
With the NFT one?
Just in general, your community that you have, the Imasol supporters, how are you engaging and growing that community?
Well, I'm trying to be present and to make sure that I make them a part of my journey and, you know, like, inviting them in what I'm doing constantly. I think I can do it better. That's for sure. That's something that I realized at VCon. And as all the artists, I'm going through this process of adapting myself to make sure that this community feels the way that I think that I'm doing things, you know, like, I'm trying to make sure that they do feel like I am trying to be present. So I will definitely be working, like, I am starting to work in an amnesty collection, obviously for my holders, the ones that did Paul Weiser. I'm trying to see if I can do maybe like an EP in that way for Web3.
Wow.
Like, just trying to personalize as much the experience for each community. For TikTok, something.
Wow, that's something. Very interesting. That's very interesting.
For Web3, something. So
wow.
That they cannot find anywhere else, but only there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good takeaway.
Well, I hope it works. But that's like what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, I hope it works for you as well. For sure.
yeah, hopefully.
Well, it looks like it is so far. So
yes.
You know, the perspective I like to keep is like, hey, I've made it this far. You know, there's nothing this, like, I don't think I'm going to plateau here. So I made it this far. So the direction we're likely going to keep going in is up. But the final question I have for you that I like to ask everybody is, what is one thing that you currently know now in your career that you wish you knew when you first started?
That I wish that I knew that when I first started.
Yeah.
It's consistency. Try to be not so judgmental of me. I'm not so insecure about who I am as an artist. If I'm an artist, it's because obviously I know and I believe that I have the talent and that I have what it takes. But if I doubt myself
a lot and not
try to understand and be patient, then I have a bad time.
Yeah.
So as all artists, I have moments where I doubt myself and stuff. But what I would say is that I wish that I was a little bit more mature in my way of seeing my journey. Mm. You know, this is my journey and nobody else's. And try to not compare myself so much. Like, you know, like focus on what I'm doing and try to avoid anything that tries to take me out of that focus. I can only work with good energy people. I can only work with people that makes me work harder and pushes me to do it also in the right way, believe in myself, and also, you know, like be the person that I want to be better.
Absolutely.
Every time, you know, everything is about an error, but then trying to do it better, you
Absolutely.
Know, like, that's what I will say. Trust your intuition so you make sure that what's out there definitely represents yourself and nobody else. Because your mistakes will be yours, and when you win, would be everyone's win. So make sure that you're doing yourself, you know, representing yourself 100%. That's what I would say.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. I think that is super, super insightful. I really appreciate you sharing that. So if you could hang out for 30 more seconds, I just want to say thank you very much personally to you for taking the time to chat. I know that you have a lot going on. You've been traveling a lot. So I appreciate you taking the time. And then I also want to say a very big thank you to every single person that watched or listened to this after the fact. Definitely go check out Ima Soul on Instagram and TikTok and all the major streaming platforms. Go check out her music. Best way to support me and my channel is by checking out my own original music. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching. God bless and peace out. And I know in my head this isn't how it's meant to be. It's just harder than it seems to let go. I white knuckle every morning.